honey on the lone highway. Let me pour another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway. Texas goes on forever on the lone highway. The strange drift is hitchhike on the lone highway. Cheap motels and beer on the lone highway.
Okay.
Don't trust.
Hello and welcome to the Scorpio International Holding Company, LLC. Today's date is Sunday, March 10, 2024. I am your host, Dave Scorpio, and welcome to the free-range open-air insane asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are watching the State of the Union address and wondering if Joe Biden, or the actor playing him, is possibly wearing a latex mask. And I know it sounds a little goofy and a little kooky and a little out there, but there really is evidence to suggest that, at least at times, there is an actor wearing a latex mask posing as Joe Biden. And I'm sure, you know, for those of you who follow this sort of thing, I'm sure some of you out there remember seeing, let's just say, call it Joe Biden's wardrobe failure about a month ago when his chin kind of protruded to an odd point and had, you know, like a cleft in it, you know, like a butt chin, looking completely different than he usually does. This is an appearance he made about a month ago. A lot of people noticed it and, you know, took screenshots of it. And there was something definitely off that day. It did not look like Joe Biden usually does. And, you know, there's been other, you know, wardrobe malfunctions, let's say, where it looked like, you know, the mask was starting to kind of peel off the bottom of his neck. There was like a little line there where the skin met the latex. Like it was coming off. And, you know, truth really is stranger than fiction sometimes when it comes to things like this. It's something to really take a look at, and it brings up some interesting questions. And of course, during the State of the Union address the other night, many people noticed, myself included, that if you look carefully, one of his ears is attached to his face, you know, where on the other side, the earlobe was, you know, freestanding. It wasn't attached to the side of his face. And that's the kind of thing that, you know, it doesn't change with age. Obviously, people's faces change over time with age, but either your earlobes are attached to the side of your face or they're not. And of course, if you go further back, Joe Biden's eyes even change color. So it's a very strange thing. And if they are using a latex mask on Joe Biden, you have to ask yourself, you know, what other politicians or world leaders are doing the same thing? How far does this go? How many, you know, famous people and influential people are actually being portrayed by someone else from time to time, at least. And, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but there really is evidence to support that something isn't quite right with Joe Biden's physical appearance. And, you know, I'm sure many of you out there remember, you know, the television show Mission Impossible from the late 1960s. I believe it began in 1966 through the early 70s, where from time to time in the show, one of the actors would basically put on a latex mask and pretend to be a completely different person for the purposes of their mission. And, you know, it's a well-known fact that, you know, the CIA feeds information and actually controls, you know, certain aspects of Hollywood. But the idea that this concept of a latex mask being so believable that it looks real goes back to a 1960s television show. And, you know, there's many examples of information being fed into the public realm through this method. But it's interesting to think that somebody back in the 1960s had already heard of this capability or technology and fed the information onto a TV show. And so many people would see the show and go, oh, well, that's just Hollywood. That's not real. They couldn't possibly do that. But it looks like they can. And it's just an example, one of many examples of how technology or abilities are kept out of the public realm for, you know, 40 or 50 years before it's even admitted that such things are possible. And of course, you know, the CIA and other intelligence agencies began feeding information to the media, or actually having an influence on the media during World War II. Many propaganda tools were used during World War II, and of course, this program sort of continued and morphed through, you know, Operation Mockingbird and whatever the modern equivalent of that is. But you can rest assured it's still going on, because it's never been, you know, exposed or stopped. And really, the bottom line is that politics in the modern world really is nothing more than showbiz. It's showbiz, guys. And the show must go on, as they say, even if one of the actors happens to die, the show must go on. And really, ultimately, modern politics is really just a production, a grand production for your entertainment to capture your emotions and make you believe that you have some kind of input as to what happens in the world or with your government, when the harsh, cold truth is, they don't care what you think at all. And your vote really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, because the agenda moves forward no matter who gets in office. And that's certainly been the case for my lifetime, since I've been observing politics. And of course, in this year's clown show, I mean, election, the big alternative, the forbidden alternative, is, of course, Donald J. Trump. He's the forbidden choice. The worst human being ever to exist, possibly worse than Hitler. And think about it, guys. It's been 10 years of Donald Trump on the center stage of the three-ring circus known as American politics. It's been almost 10 years. Next year, it'll be 10 years because it was in 2015 that Donald Trump first rode down the golden escalator and announced that he would be running for president. So it's been 10 years of nonstop Donald Trump in the media, simultaneously getting the public either to love Donald Trump, to see him as some kind of a savior, our only hope to save the country, or the new Hitler, a personification of the devil himself, all wrapped into one. And as I pointed out on a past show, this is much like the Church of the Process of the Final Judgment from the 1960s, where they morphed the idea of the devil and Christ into one entity, which is a very strange concept. But that's kind of what they've done with Donald Trump as well. And, you know, in the 10 years of Donald Trump, I actually hate talking about Donald Trump because it's so ubiquitous in our political scene. But what has 10 years of Donald Trump gotten us? Well, not much. Not much if you really look at this objectively. It certainly got us COVID and the vax, and I'm not blaming COVID on Donald Trump, of course, but you know, much more powerful forces were at work there. But Donald Trump did go along with a charade, and he even pretended to have COVID 33 days before the election in 2020. 33 days before is when Donald Trump pretended he had COVID and had to be flown by helicopter to Walter Reed Medical Center for treatment, where he recovered miraculously within days, of course. And of course, Donald Trump still brags about the COVID vaccine as being his greatest accomplishment. What an accomplishment. But of course, both sides agree on that. Joe Biden picked up the vaccine baton and ran with it at full speed. It's funny how that works out. The two parties always agree on the most important agenda items, like the COVID vaccine and free trade and other issues. But this time it's going to be different. If Trump gets elected, it's going to be different this time. That's what we are told. And, you know, the passion surrounding the followers of Donald Trump is really amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It's sort of the closest thing we've ever come to in America of a political cult figure, you know, a true cult of personality. And, you know, I was actually talking with Daryl Wayne last night, and I'm sure many of you have heard Daryl on Mike's show and Mike Gatti's show and my show as well. And we were talking about this Trump phenomenon. And, you know, I was making the observation that, you know, I've met a lot of Trump people in real life. And the vast majority of them are actually otherwise intelligent, very intelligent and accomplished people for the most part. The caliber of people that are on the Trump train, you have to admit that, you know, there's some successful people that are 100% on board with Trump. And I find that interesting that this phenomenon or this cult of personality could sort of penetrate into, you know, the kind of upper levels of successful people in society. And I kind of asked Daryl, why do you think that is? How is this possible that all these intelligent people could be kind of tricked, I believe, tricked by a very elaborate psyop? Because, you know, the purpose of a psyop is to capture your emotions, to get you thinking emotionally, to get you invested in something beyond the rational. And Daryl made a very good observation, which is that Trump is sort of a mirror. Those people want to see themselves like Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump personifies in many ways the successful tycoon, businessman, successful man. And it acts as a mirror for many of these people because they want to see themselves in the same light. And I think that there's truth in that. I think that's a good observation. And I think it partially explains, you know, this, I would have to say, a cult of personality that's developed around him. I think the closest thing we've had it to this in American politics was Ronald Reagan back in the 1980s. And of course, the whole mythology that's grown up around Reagan being this great conservative, when really, you know, he oversaw the first amnesty of illegal aliens, which of course greatly added to the problem, because once you do amnesty once, many people feel it's only a matter of time before they do it again. And I think he sort of oversaw the grand consolidation or the beginning of the corporatization of America, of American culture and American values becoming corporatized. That really began in earnest under Ronald Reagan. And, you know, I'm being objective here because I really don't have a dog in this fight. Obviously, I'm not a supporter of Joe Biden, Latex Joe or Groper Joe or Genocide Joe, whatever you want to call him, or the actor playing Joe Biden. I mean, this is an interesting topic when someone's appearance changes so radically, so quickly. There's something going on. And oddly enough, you know, I've never actually voted in my life. I've never voted, which is strange for someone as interested in politics as I am. But, you know, it kind of started because during the Reagan years, if you did not register for the draft, you could not vote. Don't want to be part of the war machine? Sorry, kid, you can't vote. I'll get back to that when we return. Everyone, stay tuned.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easoff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Okay, we are back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And yeah, I was just kind of finishing up my little story about how I did not register for the draft when I turned 18. And actually, the person that urged me not to register wasn't some kind of peacenik hippie type. It was actually a close family member who was a former Navy SEAL, or actually former underwater demolition team. And from his own experiences, he just told me, don't have anything to do with that whole world. Don't do it. He was very adamant about it. And so at the time, back in the 80s, if you did not register for the draft, you could not vote. Thanks to Ronald Reagan, a part of his patriotic routine. So, of course, that's all gone down the memory hole, but that was in effect for years. And so I just never got in the habit of voting. I said, well, screw it. I guess I won't vote. And so, yeah, as a result, I've never voted. And I don't think it's made much difference. And, you know, just to finish up my thoughts on Donald Trump, which I really don't like talking about. Donald Trump recently told Benjamin Netanyahu to finish the job. That's the exact same line that Nikki Haley was using right before she got her big supposed or alleged bump in the polls. Completely artificial. But yeah, Trump said the same thing. Finish the job. I mean, it's really amazing that this genocide is actually pretty much accepted and encouraged. Of course, it's accomplished using American bombs and airplanes and funds. I mean, just imagine, you know, the people in Gaza, you know, you're just living your life. Or imagine if you're in America and you're just living your life and some Jew in an airplane drops a bomb on your house and kills your entire family or part of your family. I mean, that's what's literally going on in Gaza. And somehow that's okay. It's just happening over there. And, you know, Israel is our greatest ally. It's amazing anyone could accept or encourage such callous and cruel and inhuman behavior. So I just from that one statement alone should disqualify Donald Trump or anyone who claims to be a Zionist. Because, you know, here's one thing that's for sure. You cannot be against the New World Order and pro-Zionist. It's not possible. You can't do it. But, of course, both sides agree on that, don't they? Our greatest ally. I mean, really, you have to be either mentally ill or a psychopath to, you know, accept and encourage and support anything like what's going on right now in Gaza. I mean, they've literally turned Gaza into an absolute wasteland. And it's interesting in the news how they report there's a humanitarian crisis happening in Gaza. Well, no kidding. Yeah, there's no food. Of course, they never mentioned that it's the Israelis who have cut off all food and water to collectively punish every single Gazan for the alleged, and I mean alleged, attack on October 7th. I'm not convinced of much of any of it, especially the whole hostage thing. There's no evidence that there's any hostages other than just, you know, stories. But one thing that's kind of slipped by the news here, and only the far left is reporting on this, it has to do with settlements in the West Bank. I'll get to that when we return. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. We like living right, being free.
Okay. We are back. Nothing like a little bit of Merle. Make your day better. Well, I do want to take calls in this second half hour. So let me give out the number. Area code 512-248-8252. Once again, 512-248-8252. And I see we already have a call, but I just want to finish up briefly about what's been going on in the West Bank as everyone's focused on Gaza. It turns out that since October 7th, there's been an absolute building spree of illegal settlements all over the West Bank. They are cranking out the houses and building new settlements, they call them, stealing land illegally. Since October 7th, there's been a mad rush. So as they publicly talk about a two-state solution, they're working behind the scenes to make sure it's impossible. And believe me, that'll never happen. It's already impossible. And they're just filling in the gaps now, taking the rest of the land while everyone's looking at Gaza. So I've got more to cover, but let's go ahead and take the first call. We got Rick in Arizona, always insightful. Rick, you are on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hello.
Yeah, you know, can you hear me?
I can, indeed. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Quickly, as far as selective service, even today you have to register. If you don't register, you won't get a government job, you can't vote, you can't get a student loan.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen on the applications for federal jobs, they actually ask for your registration number. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yep. But they're never going to have a draft. I mean, a draft would be like, you know, instant wake up. So that ain't going to happen.
I agree. I completely agree, Rick. That would actually be, if they did that, it would actually give the young people something to fight against, and it would be very galvanizing. It would never work. I agree.
Yeah. Now, I want to say, you know, we're all interested, you know, we talk about Trump's power over people. Before Rush went off the air, and it was a few years before that. It was actually when Trump was campaigning for the first round. And Rush said, it isn't what Donald Trump says. It's how he makes you feel. Okay? Donald Trump, there's a lot of sophisticated psychology going behind Donald Trump and how he relates to people like white males, for example. He is the anti-Clinton, you know, where Clinton was cheating on his wife and all these white guys that were faithful to their boys. They couldn't stand Clinton. And then, of course, Trump's been divorced. But when Trump said during one of those debates that Megyn Kelly was bleeding from her ears and her eyes and other places, I mean, white males just married themselves to Donald Trump. It doesn't matter what Trump says. Or anything. I mean, when you take a look at Bill, at Biden and Trump, they basically are for the same things. They both support Israel. They both want to take your gun rights. They both want to give you a jab. They both support LGBTQ. There's a video going around of Trump, you know, defending LGBTQ. I mean,
yes.
I don't really see that much difference other than, you know, you want to wash you want to do your laundry in hot or cold water or warm or soft or hard water. It's not that big of a difference, but for the most part, it's how Trump makes people feel. I know people that didn't give Trump a chance a year and a half ago. You know, a retired police officer. He was going to go with DeSantis. Well, what happened? These diversity hire prosecutors started charging him with crimes. And that started resurrecting him as an underdog. So, look it, you vote for Trump on the third time this year. Whatever Trump does, you own it, baby. If he turns around and signs some serious gun legislation, you're not going to be able to argue. You're not going to talk or nothing. You're just going to put your head down and turn away. That's what they're doing. This is a bunko operation. This is a very sophisticated psychological operation, because when he does come back, the shootings are going to go crazy. And he is going to sign that federal red flag law that they want so badly. Because like I said before on the show, there's too many states out there that are never going to pass the red flag law, no matter how much money you bribe them with. But Trump can do it. The senators can go back to their state after some ginned up mass shooting and say, I think we need some legislation here to stop this nonsense right now. And Trump will sign it. This is the number one issue in my mind is gun control. They've been doing these shootings for 20 years. They haven't been doing it for nothing. Okay? So that's what's going on. There's very sophisticated psychology being worked over on people.
I agree. Right now, that's a very good observation, Rick. It is very sophisticated, and they've managed to create a cult of personality that's never been so intense on the political scene. Like I said, Reagan's probably the closest thing to it back in the day, but this is a whole different level of devotion and hatred at the same time. It's really kind of strange. What do you think about the possibility that there's an actor at times wearing a mask playing Joe Biden? Do you think that's just completely out there, or do you think it's possible?
I was listening to your show. You were on the show last night with Blackbird 9 and the other guys. I think Blackbird 9 hit it pretty good. He's got an understudy. It's very possible that Biden's got an understudy. He might not be able to get up and get to the podium. He may be incoherent. So they send somebody out there. It's very possible.
Yeah, and it goes back to the idea that that politics is showbiz. Understudy is...
Yes.
Exactly.
And you got to take a look at it this way. The people that really are in control of this country are the same people that looted Donald Trump's casinos in New Jersey. they're the same people that promote boxing matches, Tyson and this guy. And what are they doing? This is just a boxing match. They're just promoting another rematch. This is how these people think. But they're in charge. They're in control. And I do think that Biden, no matter, even if Biden wins the election, they're putting Trump in. They'll do the same thing to Biden as they did to Trump in 2020. I'm here to tell you, I hope I'm wrong because I hate Trump. And he wants my gun rights.
Ricky, you could be right. You know, with your prediction of Trump, we've had this ongoing conversation about this for a while. And, you know, I have noticed the mainstream media is actually changing their tone a little bit about Donald Trump. And I think the big linchpin here is going to be whether or not the Supreme Court gives him absolute immunity. And if they do, that kind of negates the case against him by Jack Smith, who just happens to be Jewish, because that's the only case that really has any teeth to it. The rest of them are all just ridiculous cases. So I think that's going to be a big moment as to whether or not they give him immunity, which, you know, the idea that you're going to give any politician absolute immunity is insane, but it could very well happen.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see him back in office. You know, this guy's got the kind of power that can really mess things up. He's only going to be working for the Jews. You know, he's already been on TV last night talking about tariffs against China. And Trump said, "You screw us, we'll screw you." Well, he's going to screw us because he puts tariffs on Chinese goods. It's just going to be passed on to the American consumer, and that money's going to go straight into the Treasury. We will pay for it.
Well, that's true, but I don't think they'll allow any kind of real tariff war to happen because it interferes with free trade, and that's one of the kind of cornerstones.
He already did it. He almost crushed the farmers in after 2000 when he put it in. No, the farmers, there's farmers out there that are really concerned that once he gets back in there, he's just going to pick up where he left off with the tariff war. No. Trump is a tariff guy. He's a tariff guy. I'm good. All right. Well, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, Rick. I always appreciate your call. You have an interesting perspective, and you're very insightful. I appreciate your call. Thank you. But we'll see about the tariffs. I don't think tariffs are all bad, personally. You know, before 1913, the government was funded by tariffs primarily. But we'll see. I think a lot of things are up in the air, and I still think it's doubtful Trump gets back in. I think he's broken too many rules of the club. But Rick, you could be right. Anything's possible in this world. Let's go to the next caller. We have John in Austin, my favorite Scotsman. John, you are on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, David. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Good man. Listen, I've got a couple of things for you. First of all, I heard a rebroad of your show a couple of weeks ago, and it was the first time I called into your show, and I had just found out that John Pilger had died then, and I sort of got distracted by you, and we went off somewhere. And I never got around to making the point that I mentioned, that I brought up John Pilger. He had made a documentary about the people of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean being moved to the main island of Mauritius. And it made me think of Alan Watt that used to be on RBN. Are you familiar with him, the Scottish guy?
Oh, yeah, he was great. He was a legend, no question.
Yeah, because he used to talk about how all these things were planned like at least 20 years in advance, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in advance. And I discovered later on that discussions between the British government and the Prime Minister at the time, who was Harold Wilson, those discussions between the British government and the American government started in 1965, and they were concluded in, I think, about 71 or 72. And so all the people were removed from Diego Garcia, and an American military base was built there. And approximately 17, 18 years later, we have the first Gulf War. So that made me very angry, because when I was a young man, I was a fan of Harold Wilson. But when I read that, I was pretty disgusted. Now, a brief mention about Trump. There's a video on YouTube called "You've Been Trumped Again," and it's about his golf course in Aberdeen, Scotland. Now, originally, it came out about, I don't know, about 8 or 9, maybe 10 years ago, and then it disappeared for a while, but it's back on YouTube. And if you want a measure of this guy's integrity and his honesty, just watch that, because he's just a piece of crap, as far as I'm concerned. And most people in Scotland wouldn't pee down his throat if his belly caught fire. And lastly, my last point is, I was watching Al Jazeera earlier on, which I do every day because I'm very passionate about the Palestinian cause. And I found it interesting that the girl there today was talking about this footage has been disclosed now of the Israeli helicopters killing all those people on that day, October 7th. And I thought, well, Max Egan actually brought out a video 2 weeks after that, and he had about 2 minutes coverage of it. And then a few weeks after that, Max Blumenthal, I was watching one of his shows, and yes, he had a clip about 9 minutes long of the same thing, but all these Israeli helicopter pilots just shooting all these people. So, I mean, it just drives me crazy that this is just, it's still floating about. And I think the one question that still bugs me the most is, what would it benefit Hamas to have started that business on October the 7th? Knowing damn well what Israel's response would have been, it just makes no sense to me. And knowing damn well as well that Israel's intent is just to clear Palestine altogether of the people there and take the whole land. So it really sickens me that this is going on. And what evil power do these people have that these bloody European and American governments are still supporting Israel in this?
It is amazing, and I agree that the whole story of October 7 does not make sense. There's the motivation of Hamas, as you point out, they would have full well known it would be an unparalleled response. And the idea that Hamas managed to open the border up with a tractor and drive all these cars and motorcycles in without anyone noticing, it's absurd on its very face. And, it kind of reminds me of 9/11 in a lot of ways, because guess what? The same people were behind it. And, you know, just going back to your comments about Diego Garcia, that is a very, very secretive military base there. A lot of strange things are swirling around that particular military base. It's very secretive and very kind of a hush-hush sort of place. So it's an interesting rabbit hole to go down, that Diego Garcia military base.
Well, I just figured because of its location, it was ideally located for the First World War. You know, close
the
enough
Gulf
to
War,
Iraq.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, mate, that's all I've got for you.
Okay, John, thank you for your call, sir. Cheers. I appreciate it. Okay, let's go on to the next caller. We have Frank in New York. Frank, you are on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, Scorpio. Hey, a lot of people forget, you know, after the 2016 election, okay, the two presidents get together one-on-one, okay? This happened on the Thursday after Election Day. It was just Obama and Trump in the room by themselves, okay? It takes place every time there's a new president. Anyway,
yes.
They generally last 10 to 15 minutes, maximum 15 minutes. This one went on for an hour and a half, okay? People, when Trump came out, he was a changed person. I truly believe he was compromised at that time. I think that Obama gave him his orders. I think Obama gets it from the CIA and the Mossad. And I think that's the way it goes down the chain. If people go into the newspaper over there, or the website, I should say, the Daily Mail, okay, if they go in there and they Google around, they can get and see him. When he went in there, he was happy. His eyes, you know, you could see he was actually happy. When he came out, you could see the fear in his face, okay, in his eyes. You could see later on he was forcing smiles when he was with Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, you know, when he met with those creeps. You know what I mean? And I truthfully believe that he got compromised.
Well, that's interesting. I think you're right. I don't know that the compromise began there, but I'm sure that to some degree, Donald Trump didn't quite realize the game he was playing, or the level he was playing at. And I think some very harsh truths were probably told to him right then. I think that happens to every incoming president. They sort of let him know who's running the show and what's expected of you. And I think that's been an ongoing thing for quite a long time. I think you're onto something there. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. If people go in and check it out, you can see it. I mean, they had a body language reader, and she came out and she said he became fearful of something. And you can see it in his eyes. He's sitting down. He's forcing smiles. He's doing things, but you can see it in his eyes. He became fearful. And, you know, it was shortly thereafter, you know, the two big things he had going for him, okay, in the campaign, with the wall, you know, build the wall, and Hillary, jail her. We got neither one.
Lock her up, yeah.
Yeah, lock her up. That was a big one. They were protesting. She was signing she had a book signing somewhere, and the people were outside yelling, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And they always were screaming for the wall, and he failed on both of them. He was going to bring the troops home from the Middle East. He never did that. He was going to get along with Russia. You know, he had a meeting with Putin. He came out and he said, we had a good meeting. The next day, his handlers had him out there, changing what he said. He said, well, why did I say Russia wouldn't do that when I said, I should have said, why would they do that? I mean, it was like a little kid being taken out by the teacher and saying, here, you got to, you know, get this thing straight. You know, he was going to overturn Obamacare. You know, now people go, oh, well, John McCain put the thumb down. Hey, John McCain cashed in September. He went to hell in September that year. He could have brought in John Kyle, okay? They did appoint John Kyle out there, and they could have called for another vote. And they could have actually turned Obamacare upside down, but they didn't. He was going to have a voter integrity commission. That was one of his big things. Oh, yeah, yeah. I bet he wishes he actually have, you know, followed through with that one because, you know, he did get the shift. We know that. You know, he was going to fix the infrastructure. He didn't do that. He was going to bring back Glass-Steagall. Okay? That didn't take place. These are all promises he made. He was going to defund sanctuary cities. You know, that didn't take place. What the things he did do was, you know, I mean, I remember back he was talking about Saudi Arabia's involvement in 9/11. Okay? And that was some years ago. And then he's over there in Saudi Arabia doing the sword dance, okay, giving them all the weapons they need, okay, so they can go and slaughter the Yemenis, okay? Now, the House and the Senate both passed a bill to stop, okay, assisting these people in the slaughter of the people of Yemen. And he vetoed that bill. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I just don't understand. You know, people don't realize all of the things this guy has said. You know, he's given Israel everything they want, okay? He's pushed the vaccine. But they still say, oh, Trump, you know, he's our only hope. I mean, I don't know who we could bring in, actually. You know what I mean? I think he's going to win. Like you said, they'll probably bring him in to get the war going. You know, he can do a lot of things that the moron can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he'd be a good wartime president. But we'll see. I think a lot of this is going to depend on if he's granted immunity by the Supreme Court, because that negates Jack Smith's case. And that's the only real case that has teeth. You made a great list of all of the things he promised, or many of them, that he didn't follow through with. And, of course, the president really is just a salesman, a face for the agenda, and a punching bag when things start to go wrong, when aspects of the agenda are revealed that are not popular. You can blame it all on that guy, and that's part of the game of blame.
Right. You know, I mean, I just saw an article today by, I think it was Eugene Robinson or somebody, one of these national syndicates. They said that the FBI or that the Republicans are defunding the police. I said, what? I looked at the guy. I just read one paragraph, and he said, you know, they reduced the Republicans in the House are reducing the FBI's total budget by 5%. Okay.
That's going to change things. Yeah.
Exactly,
have to cut back on the caviar and the private jet flights is about it. Frank, thanks for the call. I got one more caller I want to get to, and we're almost out of time. So please call again, and I appreciate your call. Let's go to Dan in Washington. Dan, you are on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Great points by the last callers. I agree with most of what Rick said, but I've done a lot of research, and the reason the jobs went overseas is just tariffs. Tariffs are a good thing. So if you want jobs back, you have to impose tariffs. Just, they have all these, for decades, they say, oh, we got to get rid of the minimum wage or this or that or the EPA. That's just another reason you have tariffs, plus the different value of the currencies.
And tariffs, yeah. I agree to some extent, you know, because tariffs are what allow you to make up for the difference in labor costs. You can't compete with people that are being paid $3 a day. But, you know, that was something that from the past that worked, but I don't think they're going to allow massive tariffs to be reenacted.
Well, that's what pissed me off about Trump is, okay, he did put tariffs on Chinese stuff, but then he, like, if you want to bring all the shoe manufacturing back, you need to put a tariff on all the, like you said, on countries because of wage differential or to bring back jobs here. But he just targeted China, and then they were just taking the jobs from China and going to Vietnam, Korea, Taiwan, you know, so he didn't really, as far as I could tell, it didn't bring any jobs back, really, you know, just because he wanted it. It was more of a punish China type thing.
And something just satisfies people's emotions. A lot of this is very emotional, and Rick made a great point about the psychology of this. It's very sophisticated and is to the point of being a science.
Yeah, and I agree with his point about guns, and I would even add hate speech. I can see Trump getting hate speech laws through.
Oh, sure.
You know,
yeah.
To fight anti-Semitism, but I'm not voting for him. If he said finish the job, I'm done with that guy.
Yeah, so that's a terrible thing to support.
Yep.
We're at the top of the hour. I appreciate your call, Dan.
Next.
Okay, and in the next hour, I do have a guest. Riser from Ireland. Everyone stay tuned. We will be right back.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.